here. This is where I want to start off with. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 25. Matthew 11, verse 25 said, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes." You've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but not from the babes. This wise and prudent is those that are skilled philosophers, arrogant in their own wisdom and knowledge. The word babes in the original Greek simply meant unskilled and unlearned. That is not a negative by any means, but Jesus was emphatically saying, and again reminding us, that if you know everything, you can know nothing. And if you don't become a babe in Christ, somebody that just sets all of their wisdom, all of their understanding, all of their thoughts aside and says, what can I glean? How can I receive more from God?
Yes.
Amen. I pray today that we humbly open ourselves up to the truth of God's word and not be conceited in our own eyes, but say, God, I seriously want to know you better. I want to be all that you want me to be. Help me not be wise in my own conceit, but to glean from your word today to become more like you. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You can be seated in Jesus' name. If you are wise in your own eyes, you're not going to be able to really seek truth in childlike faith, realizing that this is the only way that you can get answers from God, is to become like a babe in Christ. Amen. God, I made mention of this over some recent events that have happened in my world and with friends of mine, that I don't ever want to get to a place that I cannot be taught. I don't ever want to get to a place where I become wise in my own eyes, that somebody cannot talk to me, that somebody cannot instruct me.
Right.
Amen. I don't ever want that to happen. And you may say, well, Pastor, that's probably just words that you're saying to make us feel better. No, I've seen too many fall. I've seen too many make mistakes and fall because they thought that they had attained. They thought that they had become, and they thought that they had gotten somewhere that they were above. And I don't ever want to get to a place in my walk with God that I think that I'm strong enough.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That I'm wise enough.
Praise
that I have an ability that supersedes anybody else's ability.
Right.
I want to make sure that I stay humble before the Lord.
Yes.
I need His help today.
Amen.
I need His help today. We are not here today just to come and hear the word of God for our own intellectual pleasure, nor are we here just for another mental exercise. Yet at times, I do believe and I feel that that is the attitude that we come with from time to time, that it's just another mental exercise. It's just another message. And God forbid that that ever really happened to you and I, that we ever let the Word of God just become another mental exercise.
Yeah, right.
but it's just words on a page. As my wife was giving a Bible study to a young lady just the other day, she said to her, and she said so fitfully, she said, when you hold your Bible and you begin to read your Bible, you are reading God. You are holding God. You are holding and reading what He thinks, how He feels, how His heart beats. Everything about God, when you hold your Bible, is what He is.
But yet, because we are people of the Word, and we are people that read the Word, and we're people that are encouraged to read our Bibles every day, yet how often do we just really allow the words just to be words on a page and not fitfully do their work inside of us? Understanding this, that this whole setting comes on the heels of Jesus talking about being more tolerant for at judgment. He's talking about being more tolerant at judgment day for Tyre and Sidon, Sodom and Gomorrah, because of their ability. They're going to have, they didn't have the opportunity that you have today. And I just wonder if it would be even said to us today how much more tolerable it's going to be for some people because they didn't have the opportunity that we have today. Amen. In the opportunity, in the place to repent, in the place of freedom of religion, the place where we're at this particular juncture and point of our nation, we still have that religious right.
Yes.
Yet we do know there are some things possibly coming down the pipe that are going to negatively affect us.
Right.
And, you may have seen out there, I put a voter guide out there. It is church compliant, just for those of you that are concerned about that. It is made for churches because it's not promoting one candidate or another, but it simply states the facts of the issues that are at hand: abortion, right to life, pro-life, who's pro-life, who's pro-choice, who is for this and who is against that. That's all it's for.
Right.
So it's not promoting one candidate or another, same-sex bathrooms, so on and so forth. And just with some of those things, when you look down the row of some of those things, and even the religious issues, so you may not realize who is for and against taking away our nonprofit status as a religious organization dictating to us what we can say and what we cannot say over this pulpit. I'm telling you, it's in there right now. It's already on the books that they can take our nonprofit status organization benefits away from us if you preach against certain things. And that's what they're wanting to do. They're wanting to do away with the ability for me to preach the Word of God against same-sex marriage. To take away all of these things. They're wanting to take away that if I don't preach pro-choice, then they want to take away the ability for us to enjoy the things that have been set up for years and years and years for churches. So you really need to set up, instead of it being a celebrity factor and it's being a fashion show and whatever and whatever, you need to look at some of those things and make some wise choices of what's coming down the road.
Amen.
And the Bible said, Jesus said, it's going to be more tolerable for that Sodom and Gomorrah. They're going to have it's not that they're going to be saved, it's going to be more tolerable because they didn't have the preaching that we have today. They didn't have the preachers that we have today. They didn't have the voice of truth that we have today. And you know why it will be more tolerable? Because you may burn in hell knowing more of the truth
than they did. And that's why it will be more tolerable, because you will hear the preacher's voice ringing out over and over again about repentance.
Amen. Right.
About forgiveness. You'll be hearing it over and over again, where there will be some that will barely even hear this gospel message, while others in this United States of America that have had more freedoms and more access to the things of God than anybody else in the world.
That's right.
And there's going to be people that are going to be lost. And it's going more tolerable for those in Papua New Guinea and those in Brazil and the Amazonian jungle and so on and so forth. You wonder, is it going more tolerable for them than it will be for those of us that have had a message preached to them,
that
heard the truth over and over again. And so Jesus makes these statements about the wise and the prudent. Don't forget it. I'm not even going to go. I'm not even going to talk. I'm not even going to worry about those that already think that they're saved, that already have all of the answers. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it frustrating sometimes also that when you try to explain this to somebody, I had somebody tell me just the other day that they were trying to, their daughter had asked them how to spell a certain word. The mother tells them how to spell a certain word, and they said, no, that ain't how you spell it. Are you seriously saying that? You just asked me how to spell this word. I just told you, and then you turn around and tell me, no, that isn't how you spell it, because it's got this sound in it, or it's got this, or whatever, whatever. And the daughter begins to explain to the parent that, no, you don't spell it like that, because there's this sound in there. There's got to be this letter in there. And she said, no, it's not in there. That's not how you spell it. But yet there's a lot of us that are so wise in our own conceit. And we think we know everything. And we think we got it all together. And we think that we don't need anybody to instruct us. That we don't need anybody to tell us. But I'm going to tell you, without a preacher, you cannot be saved. Without a preacher, you cannot be saved. And if you ever need to pray for your preacher, you need to pray for him today. For the man of God in your life, you need to pray for him today, because there's an attack on the ministry like never before that wants to shut the mouth and the voice of truth. And I'm going to tell you, I've never fought it more than I ever have fought it these days in which we live. I'll be honest with you, there's been days I've wanted to say, I'm done, I'll just go get a job so I don't have to deal with the pressure. And I'm just telling you that the pressures of preaching this gospel can be overwhelming to the human part of man. But yet at the same time, I feel like Jeremiah, where Jeremiah said, I'm not going to say it anymore, but he said, I can't keep my mouth shut. It's like fire shut up in my bones. And if you ever prayed for your preacher, you better pray for me today. You better pray for me like you've never prayed before. Amen. Mark chapter number 11 and verse number 24. So therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Therefore I say unto you, believe, receive them, and ye shall have them. Verse 25, when ye stand praying, forgive. Everybody say forgive.
Forgive.
Now we like to talk about praying and believing and receiving. But Jesus directly ties in prayer with forgiveness. If ye have aught against any, say any.
Amen.
That's my mom, my dad, my spouse, my brother, my sister, my children, aunts, uncles, or fellow brothers and sisters in the church.
Yes. Right.
Right.
Any.
Any.
any, the Bible said, that against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. You've got to forgive any and everybody in order to have forgiveness for yourself.
Right, amen.
But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. When it said, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. It is a fact. And whether we like it or whether we don't like it, it is absolute truth. You cannot have any amount of unforgiveness in your heart if you expect God to forgive you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. Many will say, why can't I forgive? I don't know about you, but I have struggled with this very thing from time to time. At parts of my life, more times than others. Amen. And I don't believe for one second that all of us have an easy time at forgiveness. We say, why can't I forgive? I'm struggling with this. Matthew chapter 6, 14 said, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, looking at this scripture, when it says men, it is mankind and humanity. So now, we didn't just stick with our brothers and sisters in church. We didn't just stick with our spouses and our kids and our family members. But now we went from a place of those of close contact to even all of humanity. Why? Because Jesus Christ forgave all, even when all don't want to be forgiven.
Right.
But he still went to Calvary to forgive everyone their sins. C.S. Lewis made this statement: forgiveness is a beautiful, wonderful word until you have something to forgive. We can talk about forgiveness, but until we have something to forgive, it really changes the dynamic real fast. If you spend any time in church at all, you realize the importance of forgiveness. You know the biblical concepts. You've read the verses like we've already read. And you may have even been warned of the physical, hear me, of the physical, of the emotional and spiritual consequences of unforgiveness. It is a proven fact that there are physical consequences that happen physiologically to the body when you don't forgive. It brings on a tremendous amount of stress physically and emotionally to the body. So we're not only talking about the spiritual consequences, but there are physical and emotional consequences to unforgiveness. You and I are no doubt genuinely grateful, amen, for what God has done in sacrificing himself, amen, for our sins. Are you thankful for that?
Yeah.
Are you grateful for that? I am. I'm thankful that he has forgiven me. But the question is, why is there such a discrepancy between our understanding of forgiveness and our willingness to forgive others? There's this huge gulf that's between those two things. We want God to forgive us so quickly, so readily, and for everything. But when it comes to us forgiving others, not so much. Another respected counselor and author by the name of David Siemens has seen that most emotional problems among the Christians in general, I quote, are caused by a failure to understand and receive and live out God's unconditional love. It is a failure to understand, to receive, and to live out God's unconditional love. Forgiveness and grace to other people, he says, is that good news of the gospel, but it never really penetrates the reality of our emotions. It's a good talk. It's a good talk of a good game. But when it really comes down to it, do we forgive like Jesus does? Amen. And when you begin to study, and I don't expect you to do a great amount of study on that, but I am, so I can give it to you. Amen. But when you begin to study the physiological, the emotional effects of unforgiveness, it really gets me to understand why so many people struggle with life in general. And most of the time, it comes down to a place of unforgiveness with somebody else in their world, that they cannot have joy, that they cannot have peace, that they are not content, that they are full of envy and jealousy. There's all types of emotional and physical problems in their world that stem from this place of unforgiveness.
Amen.
Now, again, I pray that I'm not just preaching to a bunch of deaf ears, but that it will penetrate from the ear to the heart. The issue of forgiveness touches each of us every day. Every day. Occasionally, and at times, unfortunately, there are crises that arise, and we have a choice whether to forgive or not. Amen. We have a choice whether to forgive or not. Much of the time, this really has an effect on our level of peace. It has an effect on our level of joy. Because I can't forgive somebody else, I can't be happy. Some people go, why is he so happy? You know, I'll tell you, one of the biggest reasons why he's so happy is because he's forgiven everybody. And he ain't got any ought in his heart. He's not worried about any of that. And so he can have real joy. Well, how can you have so much peace? I'll tell you how you have so much peace. It's when you forgive everybody unconditionally. And you love them, and you can have peace beyond understanding. Oftentimes, that unfaithful spouse, that unwanted divorce, that unfair termination on your job, verbal and mental and physical, even sexual abuse that was experienced as an adult or as a child, maybe a slanderous rumor that had ruined your reputation and people looked at you differently. All of these things, you have a choice to forgive or not forgive.
Yes.
You have a choice.
Yes.
Most of the time, and I just named some big ones, but most of the time, if we really get down to the nitty-gritty of it, it's a lot less than that that causes us and gets us to the place of unforgiveness. Maybe some offense that was just something that was just said in jest, or maybe a simple fight with your spouse or with your kids, a misunderstanding or a misconception. Many things are just a misconception and a misunderstanding, and they get all convoluted and twisted, and here we are, all bent out of shape emotionally and physically, and can't sleep at night, and first thing that we do when we wake up in the morning, and we're stirred and continually agitated all over a misunderstanding. If you'll be honest with yourself, you'll understand. You're right, Pastor. There have been many times I have been guilty of a misunderstanding, a misconception, and I have lost sleep. I have been tormented I have been frustrated all over a misunderstanding, and this is where I want to bring the repetition in. If you learn, if you practice forgiveness, I want to tell you, you're going to get a better night's sleep. And that's not because you switched to Geico. Okay, some of you are paying attention. I was wondering if some of you all are falling asleep, but you're paying attention to that. Glory, hallelujah. I will tell you, you start practicing, and you start learning it, and practice repetition over and over and over again to forgive, you're going to sleep better. You're not going to be as frustrated. You're going to learn how to just let things go, and peace will come to your heart. Peace will come to your mind. Regardless of the size of the offense, forgiveness is not usually the preferred response. That's usually not the first response of our nature. Why do we, who have been forgiven so much, why do we have such a difficulty forgiving? Because when we think of it in the most realistic aspect, I've been forgiven a whole lot more in my entire life than what you have offended me by. I have been forgiven by a tremendous amount more than what you've done to me. There are three reasons why I can't forgive. Number one, this is one reason why people say, I can't forgive. I don't understand, first of all, people don't understand what forgiveness is and what it isn't. I want to take us back, and this is in my notes from the last time that I preached. I want to take us back to a Barna research group that clearly illustrates the depth of misunderstanding when it talks about the subject of forgiveness. How would you respond to the following questions? Rate each statement accurate or inaccurate on the description of forgiveness. Now, here's question number one. You cannot honestly forgive someone unless that person shows some remorse for what they did. Now, some of you are shaking your head no, because you already know that that's the wrong answer. But according to research, 62% automatically say, yeah, they got to show some remorse. Absolutely. Before I can forgive them, I have to see that they're sorry. No, you don't. You're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. They don't have to show any remorse. Fact is, they don't owe you anything for you to forgive them.
Right.
That goes against our nature. That goes against our grain. But that's why people got it all messed up. The Bible said, rejoice with them that rejoice, and mourn with them that mourn. But that's not the way we got it. People rejoice when people are mourning. And they're mourning when people are rejoicing. And that's a spirit of unforgiveness. They want to rejoice. Ha ha, he got fired from his job. Serves him right. What he did to me, he deserved that to happen to him. Man, good. I'm glad his car blew up. I'm glad they got a flat tire. Ha ha. Show them.
Right?
When you rejoice at somebody's displeasure or their
misfortune,
yeah, all that kind of stuff, that's what I'm talking about. If you start rejoicing over that stuff, there's something wrong with your spirit.
Right.
You ought to be, oh man, that's terrible, and not fake it either.
Right.
But you don't understand what they did to me. I don't need to understand.
Right.
What you don't understand is the power of forgiveness.
Right. Right. Amen.
And so here you are dealing with envy and jealousy and strife and anger and all these things because you can't forgive. The second question, if you really forgive someone, you would want that person to be released from all consequences of their actions. That's what we want to say is, yeah. But that's not true. Consequences are going to be there. That's a fact of the Word of God. But don't you be the judge. There's the difference. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, not you. But we have this ideology there should be no. Come, you reap what you sow.
Right.
I'm sorry, that is a principle of the Word of God, and God cannot lie.
Right.
You will reap what you sow. That doesn't have to be negative all the time. You start sowing good stuff everywhere you go, guess what you're going to get? You're going to start getting good stuff. Amen. Let me tell you, if you start sowing forgiveness everywhere you go, you're going to get forgiveness.